Yes.
When it comes to buying organic, I've heard it said that not everything that says it's organic is organic.
True. We see that even with some of the products. Some of the best extra virgin olive oil I've read can contain petroleum. It kind of goes back to assuming and trusting what you're getting is what they say you're getting. The problem is, and this is what I've read, is that the fines for doing these things is less than what the money, the revenue that they're making. So it's worth them to do this, take their chances in being caught, because it's a slap on the wrist to them. I'm a big fan of buying local, know where you're getting your food. If you've got space, do a garden. If your neighbors have space, you know, get something going community-wise. Then you know where your food is coming from. Cucumbers, we plant 2-3 cucumbers. I've got cucumbers to feed my entire office. I mean, it's so easy to grow these. Tomatoes, you end up with an overabundance. So if you don't have a lot of space, get with your family and friends and say, okay, here's the deal. I'm going to grow the tomatoes, you grow the cucumbers, you grow, and then you just switch up. And then you know you're getting safe food. It doesn't take a lot of space to grow your foods either. You can do buckets with trellises behind it. Cucumbers will climb. We've got snap peas that we did this year. We put a wire right up the back, and my snap peas are, I'm standing on something to try to pick my snap peas. So, and they're in a space like that.
We have a huge garden, and I'll get a little detailed on what you just said.
Okay.
We have cucumber bugs are like, they kill every, we can't, that's like one thing that we can't seem to get past.
Okay.
When it comes to using something on your garden.
Yeah, there is organic sprays that you can use. There's actually some spices. If you Google spices that tend to help keep bugs away, I know with our broccoli and cabbage, we'll plant dill, because it tends to help keep some of the bugs away. And I think dill, if you plant them near your tomatoes, it'll help to keep some of the bugs from them as well. We do share some of our food with insects and critters, but usually I plant enough that I'm not losing out on any. But there is a product that I've used, I haven't had to use it this year, called Diatomaceous Earth. Just don't inhale that. Make sure that you're not, because the powder can actually be dangerous for your lungs, but it's very safe. Otherwise, you can eat it. It's safe. You would mix it with water and then spray it on your food or on your plants. You can also, we had a year or two ago, we had a problem with centipedes in our strawberries, and centipedes would take like this chunk out of each strawberry. And I ended up, I think it was coffee grounds that I put in my garden. There's so much information out there on Google, and more people are becoming aware of the dangers of the chemicals and pesticides, that there's a lot of blogs out there. Start looking for them. I think that'll be very helpful.
Is organic all GMO?
Should be.
Okay. Yeah. Is everything that says organic, is it non-GMO?
Yeah, it should be.
So even if it doesn't say that, they cannot label it organic,
right,
if it's not.
Right. So you'll see some of the products you'll see will have organic label on it and not non-GMO. And those should be safe as well. As far as we know at this point, they just didn't pay the extra money to get that non-GMO label, which is why I think there's such a big push that really the foods that are GMO should be labeled. We shouldn't have to go looking for the non-GMO label or foods that are genetically modified.
Can I ask you to tell the story about the two stories that you tell, one about the mother and the son, and then also the one about the little boy that they labeled him as autistic?
Yeah. I had a mom and dad bring me their two sons, and the two-year-old was actually diagnosed as being autistic from the pediatrician. And they ended up in my office, and you know, I went through the spiel, get rid of the chemicals, we got rid of the Dirty Dozen, we got rid of the pesticides. And actually, he came down to the food allergy testing is what seemed to be the missing puzzle piece. We had already taken the dairy from him. He loved his dairy. Mom wasn't sure what he would drink or eat if we took his dairy. But we switched him to almond milk. And unfortunately, almonds was one of his top allergies, which we would not have known had we not tested. But I saw them back for follow-up a few weeks after we had pulled the food allergies. And mom came in and started by saying, well, you know, the first day we did it, there was nothing. We didn't notice anything. And let me back step a minute here. This little boy, they couldn't take anywhere. They couldn't take him to church. They couldn't take him to the grocery store. He was a terrible sleeper, screamed, cried, just awful, awful behavior. So when she came back in and she said, you know, we really didn't see anything the first day that we pulled the allergies, and I, you know, it doesn't surprise me. But she said, Jody, by day two, that evening, he slept through the night, and he slept through the night ever since. So to me, that story, there's no placebo effect there. We don't all of a sudden say, oh, this kid got better just because he was going to get better. That was, we pulled things that were causing inflammation in his body. And remember, if it's causing inflammation, what's stopping it from going here? There's a lot of evidence that inflammation affects the brain as well. So we pulled foods that were causing inflammation. No wonder the poor kid was screaming all the time. He was inflamed. And he's done well. He came back for a checkup, carried on a conversation with me, totally different kid than what I saw a few weeks earlier. And what was the other story? Oh, yeah, yeah. So I had a mom and son who I saw them probably every month, constantly needing to put them on antibiotics. And finally, she's like, all right, I'm just going to do this. We're doing this test for me, and we're doing it for my son. One of her top allergies, of course, was dairy, but one that was off the chart was honey. And she was putting honey in her food, in her tea every day. Yeah, yeah. And I very rarely see them. So it's made a tremendous difference. So again, you know, when I get to that point, and that's the only thing that we've changed, it tells me there's got to be something more to this. And I'm not sure why we don't get insurance companies to cover it, but to wait 5 to 10 years until they cover it, we're going to miss out on a lot of opportunity to get you well. So, and I've had a number of people tell me that it's been life-changing to have that test done. I'm a fan of that test. I order that test and sell it to you at my cost. I'm very big about, I don't want people, I especially didn't want my patients thinking that I was doing this to gain. So I get it, and you get it at my cost. I love just seeing, I love hearing the stories from it. I love it. So that's my reward.
So the test, if you take the test, you don't have to do the elimination process of like taking out eggs,
right,
and taking out weed and seeing how you react.
Right.
It's more that this will tell you exactly what you
what to take out. Yeah.
And that's what's causing the inflammation, mm-hmm, is the what, mm-hmm, you're showing.
Yep. Yeah, so anytime you eat these foods, and although honey, for me, honey's very beneficial, but honey for her was creating this level of inflammation, so it wasn't letting us get her to that optimum level of health. The food allergy lecture that I'll do on the 29th, we'll get into that. There's so much that goes along with food allergies. Those foods are not foods you have to avoid forever. The ones that cause the anaphylactic reaction, where we saw the, you know, stick figure dead, those you're going to avoid forever. You're not going to want to add those back. They're potentially deadly. But the IgG food allergies, our bodies will forget about those if we avoid them long enough to give it a chance to put that fire out, put that inflammation out. And I'll get into all of that on the 29th. So if you do the food allergy testing, I've had about a 2-week turnaround. If you do that, you'll have that test back. Certainly don't need to do that. There are plenty of people who are like, you know, I can't afford it, or I don't want to do it right now. You can try the elimination. I would recommend eliminating the 3 top allergies. And I would recommend eliminating all 3 at the same time, because if you eliminate one, and you've got an allergy to 3, you may not notice a difference because there's still a significant amount of inflammation. And it's tough because people are like, well, I don't know if I want to give up 3. What if I don't need to give up those 3? So, but remember, wheat is genetically modified. So in my patients who test negative for wheat, they're not off the hook that quickly. You know, they can eat their wheat, but now we're really looking for the non-GMO because I don't want to diagnose an autoimmune illness with them.
That was going to be my question, with the increase in non-celiac gluten intolerance that we're seeing. So is it possible that someone that is gluten intolerant or believes themselves to be gluten intolerant is really just intolerant of GMO? And that wheat, organic wheat, would be all right?
Well, and you could certainly, as long as you're not celiacs, you could certainly challenge yourself with that. So you would do the same process of elimination, avoid it for, I usually tell people 6 months, and then you would challenge your system with it. And remember the bacon. If you avoid it and you add it back, it's going to be a much more drastic reaction. So if you cut the wheat out for 6 months and you feel great, you've got great energy, you add it back, and now for the next 3 days, your arthritis kicks in and you're stuck. You know, you got stools are changed. I mean, then that's a definite connect the dot that you reacted to that, and we want to pull that back from your diet. But it is tough to say. We don't know, is it the pesticide you're reacting to? Is it when they do the food allergy testing, it's the non-GMO organic products that they're checking you for. So when it says apples, it's organic apples they're testing. They're not testing with the apples that could have 47 pesticides, because we don't know which, you know, you could certainly have many more reactions that way. Yeah.
So yep. You don't even get them organically.
Right. Right, no. But when we add them back, then it's very important that, if you know, picture that kitchen sink. Remember how we got to the food allergies in the first place. Those food allergies developed because we corroded our kitchen, the pipe. So if we're going to remove the food allergies, in the process we're going to start fixing that pipe, the last thing we want to do is, once it's fixed, start throwing chemicals back down there. It's going to go right back to where we started. Normally, you feel so good, you're not going to want to go back there. And you'll notice, when you're not spending $70 billion on over-the-counter medicine, you're going to have a lot more money to spend on these organic products. And again, it's very much cheaper to buy the seed and plant them in your backyard. Yeah, and that's not everybody's gift. So if it's not yours, then maybe you could, you know, get a friend or neighbor... Get a friend or neighbor to do that, and then maybe your gift is something different. You know, if you like making homemade bubble bath or homemade soap or homemade shampoo, I mean, do look to make those changes, start getting chemicals out in other areas, and then you can trade. Yeah.
What grains have you found that are safe, and what products would have those grains in that we
yep.
could buy?
So gluten-free, you're talking gluten-free grains. Gluten-free would be things like millet, teff, quinoa. Quinoa is spelled quinoa, Q-U-O-I-N-O-A. Buckwheat, although it has wheat in the name, is non-gluten. Brown rice, oats do not have gluten in it, but oftentimes oats are manufactured in facilities that also manufacture wheat. So if I have somebody who's off the chart, like that was, I'm going to have you do the gluten-free oats until we can see if you can tolerate the small amount of protein that may be in, you know, like a Quaker oats. Yeah, did that answer your question? Yeah. There's one called Eden. I'm not sure if they have pasta. There is a quinoa pasta, and I'm not sure of the brand name of it. There's a brown rice pasta as well. You cook them differently, so read the cooking instructions or you'll end up with mush. Yeah. You cook them for about 3 minutes and leave them sit in your pot for 15. Turn the burner off, put the lid on, sit for 15. So if you cook them like your other pasta, where you're cooking them for 10 to 12 minutes, you're going to end up with a bowl of mush. Yeah, and I have teenagers, so my thought is this. If I can get a teenage taste bud to eat this, then it must be okay, because they let me know. I will tell you, the cheeses, they weren't fans of that, and still not quite so much, but they don't. I've detoxed them from the cheese. Yeah, the Earth Balance butter. Yeah. The foods that you love. So if you're sitting there and you're thinking, I love my cheese, I love my bread, I don't know what I'd do without my eggs. Those foods are probably the ones you're addicted to. So when I have a patient who says, yeah, well, it better not be milk because I love my milk, I'm like, I can almost guarantee it's going to be milk. Yeah. Yeah.
Two questions, one along that line. So if you have a problem with milk, you can't do yogurt either.
Right. Okay. Right. Now, yogurt is cultured. So down the road, that's actually one of the ones I'll try to add back. Organic, but we'll try to add that back first. You do have some people who will tolerate the yogurt and not able to tolerate the actual milk because the fermenting process will break down some of the milk protein. And I do have patients who will say, well, I drink raw milk. It's, you know, there's no hormones or steroids in it. If you test positive for the food allergy test, you're testing positive for the milk protein. So it doesn't matter whether it's a clean version or not. You still need to avoid it for that time frame. No different than the fruits and vegetables. If you test positive, it doesn't matter whether they're organic from your backyard or not. You're still reacting to those. We need to get them out temporarily.
And second question, when I was getting seeds for the garden this year, I was looking at a lot of organic seeds versus, like, organic spinach seeds versus regular spinach.
Yeah.
What's the difference?
So you want organic or heirloom, and you may see some that will actually say non-GMO. Organic should mean non-GMO. Heirloom means that they're passed from generations past, so those are safe seeds.
If anybody wants to find those seeds, I do know of a good company. So,
oh, good.
I was just going to tell you, too, I have chickens, so does that mean I should just go ahead and get rid of my chickens?
No, actually, I'm going to give them to me. No, so you're getting, you know, there's chickens, actually, that are given arsenic to give their meat a better color. It's banned in other countries. It's not banned in America. And our chicken is now, I saw this on Dr. Oz, is being shipped over to China and then coming back. I'm not sure how that's cheaper to do that, but I'm not sure of the safety of that either. So I would hit this gentleman up for your chicken. I would actually start selling that chicken. Yeah, free range. Yep. Yep. Yeah. Yeah, so the eggs, you could certainly, not everybody's going to be allergic to eggs, and eggs are a very good source of protein. And I will usually try to get eggs back in somebody's diet once we decrease the allergy. And you'll know, again, after you do 6 months without, when you add it back, it'll be very obvious. You might have to do a year without. But at some point, we do try to get those eggs back because of the benefit of the eggs. Yeah, those allergies are not lifelong. Almost always I can get those back at some point. The only ones that I'm really not pushy at trying to get back in your diet is your dairy and your wheat. Wheat because it's usually genetically modified, and dairy because many of our cows are injected with steroids and hormones. They're fed genetically modified grains. They're not out there grazing in the field. Very few cows eat any grass. They're not... they're in factory farms. Google that sometime. Yeah, that'll change. You'll get right off of milk. Yeah, it's scary. There's actually some really good documentaries. I think I've watched them all. There's one called on Netflix. There's one called Frankenstein, which talks about the cows and what's going on with the cows. Mad cow disease. Are you familiar with that? Do you know how that came about? The leftover parts of the cow that were not used for food was ground up and made into like a protein and fed to the cows. So cows were fed cows, yeah. So they're no longer allowed to give them to the cows, but they can feed them. They can feed that to the pigs and the sheep and any other livestock. They're just not allowed to give it to the cows. Along with the enzymes. Yeah. It's really scary, and I think that one slide said it all, where it said we assume that this is benign, and it's really not. And we're seeing that in the decline. You know, our insurance rates are skyrocketing. I mean, I used to go, I had $5 copays. You know, now we've got $5,000 deductibles. It's not going to get any better. We've got illness, and everyone you talk to has some kind of illness. So we're either going to be the new norm of sick, or we're going to say, you know what, I'm tired of feeling like this. Yes, Jody's making my life uncomfortable because now I have to read all my ingredients and I've got to eat grass. I have to do all this reading, but it's uncomfortable just for a little bit. And once you start to realize that, wow, I feel good, and when I eat this food, I feel really bad, once you start connecting those dots, it makes it a lot easier. I will tell my patients, when you have a headache, your body doesn't say, oh, I think I'm going to give Dr. Melody a headache today, or I think I'm going to make her back hurt today. It hurts for a reason. You get that pain for a reason. Now, if you have arthritis and a thunderstorm is coming through, we've got our root cause. But if it's a bright sunny day and you're like, gosh, I don't know why I ache today, your body didn't just say, hey, let's just make you miserable today. Think, what can you connect that to? Did you eat at McDonald's the night before? Did you have eggs for breakfast? Did you eat a milkshake? What is connecting the dots for you? And oftentimes we find that connection if you look for it. We just don't know to look for it.
Do you mind if I give a testimony here?
Sure.
Real quick? Because some of you are probably tired of hearing this if you've been to our church, but I've always been a very healthy person, and it was probably about 2 years ago that I started getting sick. It was during the winter, and I would get sick, and then I go to the doctors, and they put me in antibiotics, and I get better, and then I get sick again, and this was constant. It was like one time after another. If I went to the gym, my body just would not recoup. I would get very tired. I started feeling, I thought, there's something really, really wrong. And I went to probably 4 or 5 different doctors, and nobody could find out what was wrong. They took blood test after blood test after blood test. And someone kept recommending me to Jody, and but she had a long, long line. It took like 2 or 3 months to get into her. So I actually ended up going to Jody, and within 15 to 20 minutes of sitting with Jody and telling her how I felt when all the other doctors were just looking at me, they actually wanted to put me in an antidepressant. Okay, so now can you imagine me them putting on an antidepressant? I get to Jody, she sits down for 15, 20 minutes, and I really believe God used her powerfully for me, because I personally tell you right now, I know this with a fact, that she saved my life. Through looking at what was going on, she said, you know, this is what we're going to do. She took an autoimmune test on me. My autoimmune number was 1280, which what I'm told is very, very extremely high. So it's usually people that have lupus and other things that is very, very, I mean, it could be deadly. And so she took all these different tests and started taking me off of these, you know, did food allergies, start taking me off of these things. Wasn't easy at first. I think it bothered my mom more than me. Mm-hmm. What are you going to eat? I started removing all these things. My numbers within six months went from 1280 down to 160. And it goes in increments of 40, correct, mm-hmm. Jody? And 40 is the number that you want to get to. Long story short, I always did eat healthy, but I didn't eat organic because I thought it was a bunch of baloney. I thought it was a money-making thing. Found out I was eating all this fruit and salad and things, plus other chemicals that were, you know. And literally, I was killing myself. And here I'm a very healthy person, and I'm thinking, what's going on? I started having panic attacks. I started feeling depressed. I started having headaches. You name it. I had everything that you could imagine. I thought I was going crazy. And Jody used the analogy of the desk and said, Tracy, when all this stuff, your body just goes, wait, I can't. My body was that far that it was just, it couldn't take anymore. So I'm a huge advocate for, I mean, I really believe this because I've seen it. I've gone off of sugar and wheat and dairy and all, and I am detoxing, so I feel those things, but I'm telling you, my body just feels incredible. You know, and once I get detoxed, I know that it's going, because that takes time too, because as Jody said, it didn't happen overnight. I saw it in the progression of years. I saw symptoms. When I think back, I knew that years it was building, and the beans just tipped over at that part. So I thank God that Jody came with this message, because it saved my life. So I'm just sharing with you, to whatever degree, I was an extremely healthy person and didn't know what was going on, but this is for real. So.
Thank you. Are there any foods that you found that are like safe foods that you can eat every day, you can't get too much of them?
Yeah, any vegetable, as long as you're not reacting to a vegetable. And very rarely do I see somebody with allergies to vegetables. Occasionally we'll see asparagus, I've seen garlic, occasionally mushrooms. But normally the vegetables are pretty safe. Fish tends to be a pretty safe food too. And I think because it's not, we don't tend to eat a lot of it. And chicken, usually I don't see a lot of allergies to chicken. Beef tends to be give or take with that, because there's a lot of contaminated beef, and we tend to eat a lot of that. But you can't overeat healthy food. And usually what I'll tell people there is if you're moving and one friend shows up to help you move, you're going to get your belongings moved, but it's going to take you a long time to do it. If 10 people show up to help you move, you're going to move much quicker. So when you're trying to fix your bodies, yes, we focus on that weight. I shouldn't say we. You will focus on, I want to lose the weight. I'm trying to lose the weight. Your primary goal is fix the inflammation. And if you're putting in the healing foods, the fruits, the vegetables, the nuts, the seeds, the healing foods, the more you put in your body, the faster you're reducing that inflammation. And despite eating mega calories, you will lose weight, because you're getting that. Inflamed bodies don't lose weight well. So when when you're trying to lose weight and you're like, I'm not losing any weight, I'm doing this diet and I've tried every diet out there, if your body's still inflamed, you're going to have a really hard time losing the weight. I don't care how much you eat, just put the quality of food in your body that your body deserves.
You said about the fish and the chicken. I've also looked into like acidity and
alkalinity. Yep.
And they all said that fish and chicken were still high in
the acidity. Yeah. So which they are. Any meat is going to be high in acidity. So when you have your chicken or your fish, you always want to have a 1-to-2 ratio. So if you're eating your meat, you want 2 vegetables to go with it. It will neutralize what you're eating. We've got plenty of vegans and vegetarians out there, and I'm not against that. If you like your meat, there's certain blood types that actually really need to have meat. And there's a lot of people who don't feel good if they're not getting the meat. We just want to make sure that you're not meat and potatoes, because you've got a lot of acidity there. You need the vegetables to go with it. So just 2 servings should create that alkalinity. You can get pH test strips at some of the pharmacies, or vitamin shop has that. And you can either spit on it or dip it in your urine, and it will tell you your acid level, and it'll tell you where you should be. So if you find that you tend to be more acidic, disease thrives in acidic environments. Cancer thrives in acidic environments. So you want to keep it, and it will tell you on there the color that you're looking for. And if you find you're too acidic, start pushing in more of the vegetables to bring that level down.
I'm curious, what blood types do need more meat?
Yeah, I know blood type A requires meat, and I have books on that. I haven't really gotten into that. I kind of let our bodies tell us what we need as far as the meat. But we need the clean meat. But A is one of the types that usually requires some kind of meat. Mm-hmm. Do you know your blood type? Yeah. Yeah, there's some really interesting books out there. And what I've done is, and actually it was funny when I had my son typing up the books that I have on here, he's like, you read all these books? I'm like, Jared, have you seen my bookshelf? Like, I have 200, 300 books on there. I've read all those books. This is 10.
Room at the doctor's office, because there's stacks of
books.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Give a lot of homework.
Yep.
Well, the other thing is I forgot to say that since I've been working with you, Jody, I didn't get sick once throughout the winter. I was around people with the stomach flu. I was around people with the flu, the chest colds. And I have not gotten sick at all.
And that's pretty typical. What I find when I do this with diets, when we get rid of the pesticides, the genetically modified foods, the food allergies, I don't see you anymore. I'll see you at the grocery store. I'm like, hey, how are you doing? Which is great. I feel like if I'm seeing you once a year for your physical, I've done my job. My goal is to keep you out of there. If I'm keeping you healthy, I'm doing my job. I had a lady, actually, real quick story, who had gone to Hershey for shock treatment for major depression. She had gone through all the medicines. Nothing worked. It was that bad that they actually did the ECT, the shock treatment. Still didn't work. And her sister was like, go see Jody. So she comes in and, you know, I do all this. And we really weren't getting anywhere. And I said, you know what? This was back in the earlier days when I was just kind of dabbling with the food allergies. And I said, you know what? It's not going to hurt. You're going to lose $200 if it doesn't work, but it's, you know, I don't think we have anything else but that to lose. So she decided to do it, and I didn't see her back for about 9 months. She comes in because she twisted her ankle, and I said, do you want to give me some feedback, please? And she said, oh, yeah, my boyfriend says I'm 99% better. So, yeah, it was great. So, but, you know, back earlier when I first started doing this, my worry was, are they mad at me because I've just yanked 20 of their favorite foods from them? But as I started getting more and more of those stories, I started thinking, wow, you know, there's something to this. And actually, my food allergy, I stumbled across that when I had a patient tell me, Jody, I don't feel bad if I don't eat. Well, then it's something you're eating. And that's how I got it. Well, let's see if, can we even do a food allergy test? Let's look at this. So we did a 12-food food allergy test. I think she was allergic to 8 out of the 12. And she came back in, and she was a totally different person. And what was interesting is, and see, I learned from my patients as well. She's like, yeah, this is all gone. I feel great. And by the way, I always had problems with OCD. I'd have to check my lights 10 times before I'd leave. And she goes, we were halfway on a trip to New York, and I realized I didn't even check those lights. So she noticed a difference within this. And that's when I started thinking, wait a minute. You know, as I started hearing those stories, I'm like, is this causing mental issues as well? And it was shortly after that I ended up testing the patient with the major depression. And I hear those stories all the time. It's so rewarding to hear those.
In your reading, have you ever come across a book called Trim Healthy Mama? And if so, is it, do you like it? Is it good?
I haven't come across that.
Okay.
Yeah, but I will get that.
Yeah, I've heard several people that my brother-in-law is doing Trim Healthy Mama. I think they're allowed to do that if you're a guy. And they say it's amazing, but it does get the weed out and these things out of your diet.
Okay, yeah, I will get that. I had a patient of mine tell me repeatedly, she's like, you've got to read The Virgin Diet. I'm like, okay. And then she'd come in again. She's like, did you read The Virgin Diet? I'm like, no. And then finally, she actually gave me the book, and it's on food intolerance. She's like, it's called The Virgin Diet, Why Food Intolerance Causes Weight Gain by J.J. Virgin. I'm like, well, that's not where my mind was going when you were telling me to read this book. So I feel like I have to explain this to every patient when I'm like, this is a great book. I didn't put it up there. I'm like, this is a great book, but I feel like I have to say her last name is J.J. Virgin wrote it. I don't know why she picked that title.
Most for market.
Yeah.
About a month ago, I had real bad feet pain. Getting up like an old man. I couldn't move a lot. And so I just decided, well, I'm going to quit coffee and I'm going to quit half and half because those two have to go together. And within 3 days, I noticed drastically reduced pain. Mm-hmm. And now I'm at the place where I hardly feel any pain at all. And I had some knee pain. I still slightly feel the knee a little bit, but it's greatly reduced.
Yep. Yeah, our bodies are wonderful at healing ourselves. And I usually tell people, if I cut your arm, if I put a slice down your arm, I don't have to fix that. Your body will fix that. However, if I throw chemicals on it every day, or I scratch it open, or I do something to aggravate it, it's not going to heal as well. So we want to give our bodies the opportunity to heal itself. So these areas of inflammation, your body's trying to reduce the inflammation. Give it what it needs. And I'll tell you, most of my patients, like Tracy said, she didn't walk out with any prescriptions. So I'm not doing anything special. I don't have a magic pill. I just teach you how to make the changes that your body needs. And your body, it's your bodies that are doing the job.
And the one doctor said to you, what kind of medicine did you have her on?
Yeah, with the autoimmune, I talked to one of Tracy's specialists because the diet they wanted her to do, I fell off my stool over. I'm like, absolutely not. This will take, I mean, soda, and it was crazy. No, it wasn't soda for yours. It was, they wanted you off your kale and some of your foods that we were doing. And I called him and I said, yeah, I'm not going to let her do this diet. And I said, you know, this is the story with Tracy. We've dealt with this autoimmune illness. I've got her down to these numbers. And he said, well, what did you put her on? I said, I don't have her on anything. Yeah, and I have two real quick stories that just happened recently. I have a lady who very bad autoimmune thyroid condition where her thyroid antibodies were over 1,000. And they've been. She came to me. She's had numerous blood studies. They were all over 1,000. And we did the food allergy test, checked her 6 weeks later, and they were 400. Wow. Now our goal is to get her under 60. That's normal. But for years, they haven't budged. And we now have her. And she actually started crying on the phone. And I don't want to say that's my reward to make you cry, but she was crying because she was happy. So, and I love that. I had another lady who, her cholesterol was over 300. And I wasn't even low. I'm like, oh, what the heck? Let's see what we can do for cholesterol. Because again, cholesterol is part of our to-do pile. Our body should be able to do this. And we had already treated her diabetes through diet, and we just couldn't get that cholesterol to budge. But I also couldn't get her to give up her dairy and cheese. So I'm like, you know what? Maybe we need this food allergy test. Let's see if you have to avoid it. Of course, dairy's off the chart. She cuts it out. Six weeks later, her cholesterol went from 309 to 216. Wow. Yeah, and I'll bring some of those, I'll cross their names out so we don't cross over the HIPAA policy, but I'll show you some of those because I love it. And again, we didn't put her on a cholesterol medicine. We made her change her diet, so little uncomfortable. It's much easier to pop a pill, and there's plenty of people out there who are going to say, absolutely not, I'm not going to do it. What she's suggesting, that's too much of a lifestyle change. Just give me the cholesterol pill. But what we're finding is that we're treating numbers. So you'll look good on paper, but we're not seeing a significant decrease in heart disease or events down the road. Yeah, and what happens is if you don't fix what tipped you over to give you the high cholesterol, what happens is now you tip over and you've got diabetes, then you tip over and you've got high blood pressure, then you tip over and there might be cancer. So it's if you don't get to the root cause, you're going to continue to tip over. You've got to think of that don't spill the beans game, and how do we start pulling those beans out? Make sense? I think I say that 100 times a day. Does that make sense? Do you get it? Good.
I don't know if you do these seminars often, but I'm sure there's a lot of people that think, well, should I go to my family doctor and get tested? Do you hear responses back from other people where they went to their family doctors and have done this?
To get food allergy tested?
Yes.
Yeah. I've had patients go to some of the allergists, and I've seen, they've come back and they're like, let me tell you what my allergist said. And they roll their eyes. So, and I'm okay with that. Years ago, it would have bothered me a little, but I've seen too many people improve, and I'm hurting no one. Yes, I may be taking $200. I'm not gaining anything from that. And you're saving so much money on that information. So it doesn't bother me. I've had gastroenterologists say the same thing. And I would think they'd be a little bit, you'd think they'd be more on board. I've had a number of gastroenterologists send me consult notes that they no longer need to see our mutual patients because their symptoms are better. Wonder why. Yeah, I had a lady
Why you're really good at working with other specialists. Like, she even consulted a rheumatologist for me, and he's actually the one I was referring to that said, well, what kind of medicine did you have her on?
Yep.
So she's really good with interacting with the doctors and really on top of things and keeping them on top of things. So
I have a number of people who have their primary care providers, and they're not, you know, this took years of research. And I've had a number of people who will come in and say, you know, I'm not interested in switching my primary care. I really like who I see, but they're not familiar with the food allergies. And will you treat me and see me for this? And I'm fine with that. You don't have to go through a Dr. Dave and get that kit. You can order it online. It's pricier online. I get a professional discount, which is why I offer it to patients at that discounted price. But you don't have to go to the doctors to even get that.
Why I say this is I've had inflammation in my body for like 2-3 years. I've gone to an arthritis doctor, I've gone to my family doctor, and they're doing all this testing, and the only thing they can find out is that they don't think that I have an autoimmune disease, but that there's a test that's really high on me that for future they said that it's a possibility that I can have an autoimmune disease. I don't know if you
okay.
Yeah, that. So I mean, they're telling me this, that it's a possibility in the future. So they're basically.
So you're wobbling. If you picture the don't spill the beans game, you're wobbling. And if you don't make changes, it'll be a matter of time where they say, it could eventually.
Keep testing you every couple.
Sure.
Every
until we can give you a diagnosis.
Shows up,
Yeah. We weren't trained food allergies in school. I'll be the first to say that. Food allergies. Remember, 20 years ago, we didn't see this at this level. We didn't have, the high fructose corn syrup. We didn't have the chemicals. We didn't have to worry about the foods being sprayed with 54 to 87 chemicals. So it's a totally different world than what we had 20 years ago. And unless you have somebody who's looking to, why aren't we getting our patients better? What is that? What are we missing?
No one's ever said anything to me about food allergies.
And yeah.
I'm wondering if that isn't my problem.
I think it would be worth testing.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was asking about, are you a specialist where I could still have a family position close if I, and still come to you for.
Yeah, it depends on your insurance. So some of the insurances will allow you to only have one primary care, and then you have to be referred out to specialists. Mm-hmm. But if you have a PPO, you can usually see whoever.
Okay.
Yep, so you could make the trip. Let me get you better there. Get the allergy thing. Yeah, certainly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How can we as a public, make people more aware, and what can we do? Is there anything we can do, even in the political realm, to put pressure to bring changes that need to be done?
Yeah, that's a great question. There's actually what'd you say? Yeah, this past May, I went to the City Steps in Harrisburg, and they did a march against Monsanto. Monsanto is the big company that has a lot to do with the genetically modified foods. And we're not saying that we don't want them to genetically modified food. I don't care if they do that. I want it labeled because I want the choice over what I buy. And there were probably 100 to maybe 150 people there. And I thought, either people don't know we were doing this or they're not aware of the potential dangers of GMOs. So they do another one in October. I didn't see anything posted yet. But I can certainly, if you write down, we have a sign-in sheet. If you'll write down your name and email, I can make sure that when I do find that information, I'd actually like to have those steps filled. I'm not in charge of it, but I do think it's important enough that if we can put enough people there, you're going to say, wow, and what are all those people standing on the steps for? And then it's just the trickle effect. So oftentimes when I teach patients this in the office or even here, you know, take this and talk to your friends and family and, you know, give them a little bit of that information so they can start making changes. Let them know that, start connecting the dots. When you feel bad, you know, why do you feel bad? My kids, if they come home and they're like, oh, you know, I have a headache, first thing out of my mouth is, what did you eat? You know, let's see if we can connect it. What did you do? And usually I can tell they'll deny it. I know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're like, that darn mom knows every time when I cheat.
What is your opinion on autism as far as, and where you, why the increase? Is it due to maternal, prenatal? Is this condition developing prenatally and manifesting at around age two? Or is this something that is coming on after birth?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. And I don't know that we have a definite answer for that. I believe that if we go back to that don't spill the beans game, that there's a number of factors that are tipping people over. There's thought about whether vaccines play a role. And I can imagine if you're born with 287 chemicals and you're given 5 vaccines at 2, 4, and 6 months, that certainly by a year and a half, we could have tipped you over. There's thought on whether vitamin D deficiency plays a role in that. And we've got a lot of people who are sunscreening. So you're blocking vitamin D. Vitamin D is very bad. We need it. Our bodies need it. So we've got that as a potential factor. We've got the chemicals. We've got the pesticides. And I, you know, when I do the research on that, you'll have one group say, well, it's the vaccines. And another group will say, well, it's vitamin D. And another group will say it's pesticides. I think it's the combination. Remember the game. It's the combination, the accumulation that tipped you over. So the vaccine might have been the thing that occurred prior to the symptoms starting. But was it the accumulation that got you there that you reacted to the vaccine?
Jody, quick question. You said about sunscreening.
Yeah, let me tell you my thought on sunscreen, especially this time of year. So sunscreen, if we're reading labels, you're going to see a lot of chemicals in your sunscreen. And there was actually a sunscreen that was pulled from the market because people were spraying their bodies with it. And if you happened to walk by a grill or a campfire, they would ignite. Yeah, there's some. So they recalled that. But it makes sense to me. If you're... Yeah, yeah. So, and what we're finding is that the sunscreen may not be decreasing the skin cancer. I think because we're putting chemicals over a large surface. So again, this is something else that our body has to break down. You know, remember the 80,000 chemicals that are out there.
So what about natural sunscreen?
So there's different types of sunscreen, and I usually tell people look for a sunscreen. It should say physical or non-chemical sunscreen. Burt's Bees makes one. Kiss My Face makes one. You're looking for the active ingredient of zinc or titanium. Zinc, you'll remember the white over the nose. They microcrystallize it so it's easier to spread. So you're not walking around with white all over your body. But it is going to be a little bit thicker to
kiss
spread, but it's safer. Kiss My Face
is
good.
I really like that, yeah. That's a good. I got a giant.
But you do want to try to get about 10 to 15 minutes of sun exposure a day, every day if you can, because we need that vitamin D level. And that's one thing I would ask your doctors to check. I'm very big on checking vitamin D levels. Summer may not be quite as important to check that, but once we hit November, December, have a D level check to see what you need for the winter, especially if you're one of those who picks up illnesses very quickly. An easy fix may be just to throw some large doses of vitamin D your way. And I dose up to 50,000 in some of my patients. Over the counter, you'll get about 5,000. Sometimes you'll find up to 10,000, but I've dosed up to 50,000. I don't do that without checking lab work first. Vitamin D deficiency you can see with anxiety, depression, seasonal affective disorder. So when your family members get grumpy, you can remind them to go in and get a vitamin D level checked. But that also, that, you know, that's a big factor with your immune system. So that's another thing, that if we can boost the vitamin D, it may just give you more stability to that pot so you're not tipping over as quickly.
What about probiotics?
Yeah, probiotics, and I'll get into that too with the food allergy lecture, but I'm a huge fan of probiotics. And if we look at that leaky gut where we've got the pipe that's corroded, if we stop throwing chemicals down that pipe, we've stopped the damage, but the holes are already there. So how do we fix that? Now, luckily, our bodies are good at repairing itself, but if we want to try to promote healing, we can go ahead and get on a probiotic, which I always say are like the little plumbers getting in there and blocking up those holes. Yep.
Most state universities have large food science departments. It's grown tremendously in the last 30 or 40 years. But they never train them, and so those who graduate can be trained as research chemists on the organic side. And they're trained to work down at the molecular level from a functionality standpoint, but never a toxicology standpoint. Mm. They don't even suspect anything. But all the research grants are coming from the firms that are behind what's going on here.
Mm-hmm.
So you have an army of scientists out there that are putting molecules together, restructuring things, playing God, and they're not even aware of what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the argument there, and I've heard arguments where they're like, well, there's starving people, and by doing this, we can have longer growing seasons, and we can have more produced at a time. And there's a lot of countries who will actually refuse genetically modified food. Even though they've got starving people, they will not allow genetically modified food on their soil. And I think France has less than 2% of genetically modified food, and anything that is GMO is clearly labeled as GMO, not the foods that are non-GMO. They make you label it if it is GMO.
Yeah. On the sunscreen, I heard that coconut oil, good coconut oil, organic, is
yeah. Coconut oil has about a 3% SPF, so it's not giving it... I love coconut oil for your skin. I use that as lotion. I use it on my face every day. I use it to take my makeup off. So there's no plastics in it. There's no chemicals in it. Although you can add that shea butter, however you pronounce that, and then some essential oils if you wanted to mix that together and make your own fancy lotion. But it's only a small SPF.
That kind of goes along with, I am someone who, obviously, like, I do my hair, I do makeup, I'm big on beauty products. Like, with coconut oil, I do a mask with it.
Mm-hmm.
But what else is, like, I know the sulfate, like, yeah, that I know that's big now. Like, mm-hmm. People realize, like, that's bad for your hair. What else, like, would be good for hair and, like, body on the outside?
Yeah, they make organic soaps. Burt's Bees is another example. They've got the sunscreen, but they've got a whole line of shampoos and other products. Good, G-U-D, Giovanni. Yeah, and Jason. Yeah, hit up the organic aisle.
There's the new bio something.
I don't know that I've read those ingredients.
The Jason one is really good. It's the lavender. I like mm-hmm.
Yeah. I have a lot of patients who are not going to, they're big into beauty care. They're not, I'm not giving up my nails. I'm not giving up my hair color. And that's okay, but you have to pick your poison. So what we want to do with you then is maybe, we leave that go and let's work on some of the easier areas for you first. And then down the road, if we find that your body's doing okay with that small amount of exposure, then we may not have to alter that. Okay?
Or if you put sunscreen on and get next to the grill, then you don't have to worry about any autoimmune disorders.
Yeah, I will say at lunch today at work, we had a representative come in and tell us about some of the new products that they have, medicine that's topical. So, I just want to point that out, that clearly the stuff is absorbing through our skin. So anything you put on your skin, if you're cleaning, I clean with vinegar, baking soda, Google that. There's all kinds of healthy recipes, and they work really well. My mirrors get spotless with vinegar. the house smells a little bit, but you spray your essential oil and you're good to go. But anything that touches your skin absorbs into your skin. So you're adding that extra assignment. Anything you're breathing in, you're adding that extra assignment. So, and you can really do a good job at cleaning without all those extra chemicals.
Just to comment on that, I work in a printing field, and we've had several safety things we watched on our chemistry we use and the different solvents and things. And they said 15 seconds is all it takes to exposure absorb. Before you absorb it in your bloodstream.
So. Yeah. Yeah, and it's something like 40 seconds till it's through your entire body. Yeah, if you've ever eaten, and this is a good experiment, if you've eaten asparagus, and you know what happens when you urinate. So if you eat asparagus, eat it when you have to go to the bathroom, and then do a little study on how long till you can actually notice the odor in your urine. It doesn't take long. It's very quick. So just to give you an idea of how quickly, once it hits our, you know, inside our body and on our skin, how quickly it can get through our system. Yeah.
When you said about the medicine, my father had Alzheimer's, and it got that they couldn't give him oral medicine, so they put it on his arm.
Yeah.
And we went to visit him, and they said, don't touch his arm, because, and of course, the first thing you walk up to someone in a hospital bed.
And you touch them. Yes, you touch them.
And
yeah.
The kids were like, wash your hands, Mom, you're going to pass out. But how, it was that fast.
Yeah, they do testosterone gels like that. So again, you know, and that they have right on the package to not have kids come in contact with that. So now we can't touch each other. Topical creams they were talking about today include ketamine. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, wait a minute, my sister's a vet tech. I'm pretty sure I've heard ketamine before. And that's what they use to euthanize animals, is ketamine. Whoa. Yeah, I asked her, I'm like, is that the ketamine? Is that what I'm thinking? She's like, yeah. I'm like, oh, okay. How's your pain? Yeah, so if we can prevent it, and I'm not against pharmaceuticals at all, but we need to, there's a lot of life-saving medicines out there. There's a lot of life-saving anything out there. But we want to limit that to, we want to limit that. We don't want to overdo it. We don't want, they're chemicals. They're more chemicals that we're putting in our body. They're more potential interactions. So if we save those for, you know what, we've done everything we can. We've got a great diet, but our blood pressure is still too high. Then, okay, maybe we do need a blood pressure medicine. But let's do what we can to try to keep that pressure where it should be. Well, thank you.